Okay, hello, hello, hello. Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, maybe. 2, 3.
Test. We should make up a new mic test mantra.
Uh-huh.
Testing, 1, 2. Testing. That's the standard one.
Sure.
Would you feel free to lay on me the variation? No pressure. Take your time.
Moses supposes his toes are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously. But Moses, he knows his toes aren't roses, for Moses supposes his toes to be. Episode 26, Sincerity is a Valid Alternative. In this episode, your hosts Steve and Mal hurtle from point A to point B while considering the human capacity for manipulation, from humble bragging to scripted politeness to outright fraud, the better for them to appreciate the good old honest vibe. Strap in for The Ride to Redacted. Listeners, please be advised there are occasional cuss words in these episodes, so now you know.
So this guy that I know, he's like really good, I realized, at arguing in a way that I'm like not into.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, will you stop?
Yeah.
I was like, a little, I don't know, manipulative or whatever. Like, I'm just saying that. To stop. Am I, like, obligated to keep responding when I've, like, said what I have to say and I'm kind of being ignored and just, like, you know, it's just, like, you're not engaging with what I'm saying. Am I entitled to just, like, let it go? Yeah, part of what gets me churned up a little is feeling like, well, I want to be nice, and I want to be polite, and I want to be responsive, but I'm also worried, like, I feel like there is this level of, like, emotional need that I find, like, troubling. And also, I think a willingness to be a little manipulative.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like that. Just tell me what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, and I also feel that there's a kind of a caginess, too. Sort of an emotion, I may have used this before, but an emotional kind of dishonesty.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. It's like being too clever about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you do end up wanting to say, all right, just say what's going on.
Yeah.
You know. But I feel like he's not doing that because he's worried that I'll just say, no, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
So he's being cagey. And I just find that the most annoying.
Yeah. It's like Schrodinger's, emotional honesty. If you're like, oh my God, if this doesn't work, I'm going to cry. And it, you know, people can react one of two ways to that. They can be like, oh my God, me too. Like, same bestie, I would be doing the exact same thing. And then you know they're cool. If they get it, they also would have a meltdown over something like that. But then sometimes you'll get people who are like, oh my God, no, don't cry. And you're like, okay. And then to those people, you're like, oh, I was just kidding. And so you determine whether you were joking or not based on the reaction of whatever the other person says. So it's like Schrodinger's joke. So it's like sometimes you'll have somebody who's testing things out, who just based on whatever your reaction is going to be, that'll determine whether they mean it or not, whether it was a joke or not.
Right, but my reaction to all this is that in this particular situation, my feeling is, it's made me realize, I really want, in a casual, sort of friendly interaction, dealing with somebody, I kind of need there to be a certain level of just emotional honesty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not, when it gets like too cagey, it's like, I'm not comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm not. I feel like I'm being gamed. And, you know, we're just hanging out. Like, don't game me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, and I've been trying, you know. I've been writing answers to these various messages.
You could be pen pals.
And I've been editing them down. Like, I'll write my first draft and it'll be pretty angry and combative, and I'll water it down. I'll make the points in a just a calmer way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's already work. But yeah, it's rewarding work. It's like, yeah, you did better. Okay, that's good.
That's what they say. Write angry, edit calm.
Yeah. Good. All right. Thank you. When do I deal with the copay?
On your way out. Are you familiar with this thing? This is kind of a non sequitur, but I thought of it earlier. Called the humble brag?
Yeah, I've heard of it, and I think I know what it is.
Can you define it for... I know, but...
For our listeners?
Yeah.
The humble brag is sort of like being falsely modest in bragging about something.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that definition doesn't go very far from the original words. Let's see if I can turn it into a humble brag. But people say I have a gift. I don't know if it's true, of being able to define things very succinctly. I mean, again, this is what people say. You know, I think they're being too kind.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is...
Okay, go and tell me what else you were thinking about that.
So, I spent time with this person recently, and I won't go into too much detail, but somebody I had only met once before, and they really rubbed me the wrong way. And it wasn't because they were humble braggy, it was more like the opposite, that they were like kind of trauma dumpy, which I hadn't found as grating the first time that I met them, but this second time I really found it kind of unbearable. And they were talking about like an achievement like in amidst the sort of trauma dumping, which got really, really tiring. They were talking about something that they had done so far this year, and you know, acting like, yeah, but it's no big deal, it's fine, whatever. And I'm like, not that you shouldn't celebrate your achievements, but you should acknowledge that it is an achievement, because then you're gonna just shit on people who haven't done that, I guess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being like, you know, oh, you know, no big deal, whatever. It's just this. It's not even that impressive. It's like, be honest with people. You know,
Right. Don't
be falsely modest because you want people to hype you up. Hype yourself up, and then other people will also hype you up, you know?
Right.
But you're not going to make other people feel like shit.
I get you, and it sort of calls back to what I was saying earlier about the thing I was asking you for advice about. Just a lot comes down to, you know, You want like a kind of a good faith, straightforward, basically honest vibe. So much comes down to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you that character could just like do that with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, people say it's a gift. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good at stuff. What can I tell you? Sometimes people get annoyed, frankly. I get it. They're intimidated, you know. I don't try to be. I just want to say, you know, about the Nobel Prize. I mean, that, you know, I'm not sure I deserved it.
Yeah, I tried to give it back. I felt like the other guy deserved it more.
And what did they do? They gave me another one just for doing that. They gave me like an extra.
Yeah, so embarrassing.
They put like an extra gold star on the thing they give you.
That's so funny.
You know, so I mean, sometimes you just got to accept it. You know. when you're this good. And I'm not saying I am, but, you know, but I am, actually. It's a thing. But I love your drawing, by the way. I think you're very good. Perfectly good keeper. Have you run across people who you feel are straight up, like, dishonest? I mean, you must have in life. You're living in the greater, a city area.
Yeah. I mean...
A lot of people.
It's not often. And I think I'm not attuned to it either, because my basic assumption is that people are not lying to me.
Right. But, and most people don't.
Well, yes, but I think I also probably don't notice a lot of the time when they are. Like, and I don't think that I'm naive. I do have the thought often of, like, yeah, right. Like, you know, but I think there are probably people who are very, very good at lying or who do it compulsively whom I just don't notice. And then there are people who I can tell do it compulsively whom I have thought, this person is a fucking liar. And but that happens so infrequently to me.
Like, good. Yeah, it's creepy. I was reading, on the other hand, in an AARP magazine that Cousin Nikki gets, but it comes to us, about fraud and how fraudsters target older people.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, as our listeners know, I'm fascinated with fraud. So just reading about, you know, there are, like, romance scams and stuff. And, you know, I guess people target elderly people, fraudsters, because they're more vulnerable to these things somehow. But it's obvious that anybody can be taken in. And they can be fairly elaborate. And also AI has been used lately. Like, a thing that can happen is a phone call where, just with a fairly small sample of a person's actual voice, they can, you know, program, like, a whole conversation. And so you can get a call from your maybe adult child who has been traveling, and now they're, like, you know, they've been kidnapped or something. And, of course, they haven't been. But that's, like, going on, and it sounds just like them. And that's creepy, but it's also interesting.
Like, talking about dishonesty, I've had an interaction on the phone recently where I could not tell if somebody was trying to scam us into buying something. Like, you know, signing up for their phone plan or their whatever register system. And so I just asked them, are you trying to sell something right now? And they kind of waffled, and I hung up on them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll get a call, and it'll be like, yeah, hi, and then I'll be like, and they'll go like, how's your day going? And I'll be like, what is this about? What is this about?
You have 5 seconds.
Yeah, I should probably just hang up at that point.
Yeah, no, I
you're
going to
be friendly? We're going to do the... And the other thing is, when I'm on, like, customer service with, like, Verizon or what have you, FedEx could be whatever. So, I mean, there's like, a customer service thing, and part of their agenda sometimes is to sell you stuff, but, you know, they also, you're calling and you have a problem and they're going to help you. And I often get to a point, I haven't actually said this, but I think I now will have to, where I really want to say, look, all right, I'm from New York, you know, the New York area. And could we just dispense with the politeness? Like, how is your day? Yeah. My day's fine. How's your day? Do we have to do that?
Yeah.
Let's just cut. Could you cut to the chase?
Yeah.
Can you?
Would be, like, unspeakably rude most people.
In the Philippines.
Yeah. But
in the actual Philippines,
but people
don't talk that
too,
way.
You know.
Yeah. They've been you know, it's part of the script. They got to be polite, you know. It's like, how's everything going? Could you just fix the thing? It's not working. Yeah. Could we not do the polite thing for, like, half an hour? Would that be okay, friend? Buddy? Yeah. Pal?
Yes.
You know, then once it's done, I'm happy to give you my life story. How's that work for you? It's like New Yorker meets, you know.
Yeah.
If we want to get into it, we'll do the culture thing. I'll do it, you know, because I'm into meeting different people, and you know, let's get down. But you know, stop with the how's your day going?
Yeah, you're like, being rude is my culture.
It's triggering.
Fix the thing, please.
It's not even rude. It's just like, it's too polite.
It's dispensing with the formalities.
Yeah, just because it's going to take us an extra 15 minutes to get through the, you know, the polite. It's too, you know, I don't want to be rude, but don't, you know, could you not be polite is all I'm asking. I could be not rude. Could you not be polite? That's the deal here. Forget it. Fuck the phone problem that I called about. Let's deal with
this.
Let's
get into this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I after reading that thing in AARP, which stands for something, Association for the Advancement of Retired People. I think it's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Magazine about fraud. Once again, I thought, all right, what, you know, come on. What would it be like if I just either called or better yet showed up on the doorstep of the FBI. Just call, is like, okay, I know, I mean, I'm not looking, you're not going to hire a 71-year-old, like, newcomer to, like, fraud investigation. I realize this, but
it's just like starting longboarding when you're 50-something.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like that a bit, if you change some of the details.
Mm-hmm.
Probably somewhat less physically risky. Who knows? But just like, all right, I'm not expecting you would. Why would you want to hire me? That would be crazy. I'm new to this. But you know, I just thought I'd start a dialogue, if you will, a relationship, so you know that I'm into this, and I think you know that enthusiasm alone. I have certain skills. People tell me. But whatever, the Nobel Prize, etc., the Gold Star. Not going to talk about that. But speaking of cons, and let's do this. Let's do this. I could, you know, just be like a civilian and help you guys out. What do you say?
Because clearly you need it.
Yeah, you're going to want someone.
Being the implication, I, a novice, could do as good, if not better, a job than you guys are doing.
Well, I mean, to put it less, you know, threateningly, not that the FBI has an ego that can be threatened.
That's what they say about FBI agents.
I'm not saying that, yeah, right. But, you know, just to be more courteous about this, I mean, I read in AARP magazine, you know, based largely on interviews with you guys,
mm-hmm.
that fraud is just like
off the charts,
through the roof.
Oh my God.
Through the roof, off the charts. There we go.
You're really building a solid case right now.
yeah, but you know, so you guys are overwhelmed, is what I'm saying. You know, as good as you are, you could use any help you could get, right? I mean, if you're honest, which you know you are. I'm not saying you're not. Who would be more honest than the fraud department of FBI? Come on.
Right.
Come on.
There's this really, really great part in Criminal Minds. Just like a little cold open, whatever. Not cold open, but like the little opening scene. And it's a bunch of women who are at the bar. And one of them brings a guy over to the group. And is like, oh my God, you have to hear what he just told me. And he tells them, like, I'm like an FBI agent or whatever. Or like, I'm a government, like, secret ops kind of guy, whatever. And they're like, oh cool, like what branch you work for, whatever. And he's like, I'm not at liberty to say. And they're like, oh, so cool.
Perfect.
And then they're like, do you have like a badge? Can we see it? And he's like, I can't take it out and show it to you. And they're like, oh, does it look like this one? And every single one of them pulls out a badge because they're just having a drink. They're like work friends, but they all work at like, you know, the FBI.
Oh,
and
nice.
Like whatever. And he runs away with his tail between his legs. He's like, I gotta go. This poodle sporting a classic poodle cut.
Uh-huh. Yeah, nice.
Very poodly.
Yeah. Wow.
Poodaloo. I think you want to strike a balance when it comes to darkness in a dark world. You want to be sensitive to the fact that it is a dark world and not, you know, ignore that. But also you want to be positive because it's shitty to just be fucked up over it all the time.
You want to have some light. You do want to have some light.
If fuzzy dice weren't distracting, I feel like you would have them.
Well, thank you. I think I take that as a compliment.
Really? I just think of that lowrider that you were in with the shag yellow carpeting
thank
on the floor, ceiling, and walls, and and the little...
And the chain link steering wheel.
The floating chain link steering wheel and the little slit-like, tank-like...
Windshield. And the horn.
And the La Cucaracha horn. Without which no lowrider is complete.
And not only do I sometimes think about signing up with the FBI, I also think about getting such a horn. Because they're out there. I'll go to Andrew and I'll say, can you fit me up with Andrew Palumbo?
Yes.
Can you fit me up with, hook me up with a cucaracha horn?
Yeah.
Sure, no problem.
Do you think he wouldn't turn a hair with it?
Or without the fuzzy dice?
You think he wouldn't turn a hair, or you think that he would give you the eyeball?
Hard to say. I think I might get a look, a little, you know, wry smile. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would take me seriously, because he knows me well enough to know that it's probably not a sincere thing, but it is, in a way. I mean, just as a, like, I wonder what my life would be like then.
I think you are also somebody who can't, not that you can't do things ironically, but you don't. You do them sincerely, or you just don't do them.
So to sum up, fuzzy dice, yes, but ironically doing things, no.
Yeah, I think you have to find the joy in the stupid thing that you're doing and not be embarrassed about it and just do it with your full chest, you know?
So if I were to get fuzzy dice, what you're saying is I would lean in.
Become a fuzzy dice guy.
Sincerely. Okay, I think we might have to end it there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Get home safe.
Cowabunga. My friend. I love you.
You've done well. I love you, too. And
get home safe.
Thanks for your help, as always.
Help? All right, let's stop this thing.
All right. We'll stop it on the question, help.